messages from the GPME in our midst, and you are more than welcome, Mr. Voucher and your team. And I understand that yes, others are the old good friends. And today we are seeing Mr. Ngomezulu. Long time. Mr. Ngomezulu. Oh, and Quez, we are here. Ooh, that's great. No advocate. Oh, it's a big day today. I want to propose something before we start. I understand the agenda for today. We are expecting a presentation from the National Department of Human Settlements on the draft regulations of HDA. Yeah, I can see there are ladies from HDA. Yeah, they are ready for action. And we are also expecting to receive a briefing from the Department of Performance and Monitoring Evaluation on the human settlements state of sanitation in the country. With due respect, I would like us to start with the DPME for one reason. DPME has been coming to this portfolio committee. I think they came twice and they were not given an opportunity because of our tight schedule. In fact, they were observing us here, Mr. Voucher, that we were having tight discussions and deliberations. I think in three of our meetings, they were willing to come before this committee and brief us. Now we can no longer take this too long, and you know, when we are dealing with the department is our baby, and it happens with those changes, it is in the agenda, it's short, changes in the agenda, it will even the Corona storm. So I would request that honorable members and the Neville, I think Neville, who's leading Neville, yes, I would request that we give DPME an opportunity to present the report, and then we release them. Sister Legatina, it's not Jaivati. Jaivatina, Mkulo, Sube, Tube Nanda, Pinting, Melanin.
Playing politics and ideology sometimes. And crowd is a very such finding.
Thank you.
again. Thank you very much. I welcome you all. First of all, I wish to apologize for being late. I had a short meeting with the house chairperson this morning, so we didn't think that it's going to take some time off my schedule. I apologize for that. First of all, I wish to thank, on behalf of the portfolio committee, I wish to thank the DPME and express an sincere appreciation for their courage and persuasive, and they've been so patient to come to before this portfolio committee and brief us on this very important issue. I must say up front, openly and frankly, that the sanitation function is at heart of this committee. And I wish to also set or put this on record that at the onset, the President of this country announced the proclamation in his State of the Nation address that sanitation function is transferred to human settlements. This committee demonstrated a warm welcome, support, and commitment to oversee this program. This can also be attested by the various debates in Parliament by different parties, oversight reports of this committee, general public comments that sanitation now has come to its rightful place. Although the department has not been allocated a full complement of the function, it has just been given a small portion that week for rural sanitation rollout. This committee has proved itself that it is committed to perform a proper oversight following the money, and this can also be attested in one of the committee's reports that is taking its oversight very seriously, especially on holding the department accountable. Therefore, we can stand as this portfolio committee with pride and with our heads high at this stage. As this committee, sanitation, we believe that sanitation fits well with human settlement. However, we must also raise our sincere concern and disappointment, because we believe that this matter has not been receiving the necessary attention by the people who are supposed to do it. And it has, the department has not been given the necessary support to make sure that this function is transferred appropriately to the department. Yes, as we call about, what do I get? What the PME and I say, I'm sorry. Ukuthi udlale indima yokuba ingabikho successful itransfer yale sanitation function to the human settlement, because we expected that immediately after the proclamation by the President, all of us sizothatha imarching orders, sifollowishe certain procedures that are supposed to be complied to make sure that the function is transferred. So we believe that people have not been objective and have been led by emotions and have been thinking with hearts. However, we still believe that as this portfolio committee, because we have learnt the report, we still believe that there is a room for discussion for this matter, and the President's directive is implemented as a matter of urgency. With those few words of welcoming you, honorable members, I would like to give the opportunity to DPME to present the report that is before the portfolio committee. I thank you.
We were under tight deadlines. There was agreement that we would perform that. It's a Section 9 committee, and those were the conditions. There's a set of legal conditions and performance requirements, and we fulfill them. In the introduction, we just point out some benefits of good sanitation. They're there. It's in the report that's around and what the World Health Organization says. And perhaps the last bullet is the one I just want to draw your attention to. Therefore, investments in sanitation that provide a comprehensive service, and it's the notion of infrastructure, effective operations and maintenance, and appropriate health education. So just keep that concept, because I'm just going to try and highlight the concepts through the presentation, has significant benefits, etc. But it's this notion of a service, operations and maintenance, and education. That's how the World Health Organization presents it. And we'll come back to that in the way that we manage it in our country as well. Okay. This part is just important in a sense that we share the background. That means we take reference from the same points. There was a commitment to the MDG about halving the number of people with basic services. And in that instance, South Africa fulfilled that requirement in 2008. And I was just looking at Philip's report to another committee yesterday, and that's the point that he's making. The backlog had been reduced, second bullet, from 52% in 1994 to 21% in 2010. But there has been some reversal in terms of adequacy. So we've met the big number, but we know that there's a problem with adequacy, largely around the quality of the service. Okay. And therefore, the goal of achieving universal access, that's our commitment, by 2014 seems to be at risk. Okay. Current delivery is less than 300,000 households per annum. So 21% is, we'll come back to the number, is a significant number in this country, and that 300,000 to get to the target, we're not at that. So we know that. So we're at risk of that. The big issue related to that, and that's probably the experience of a lot of resentment, and the notion of sanitation flowing down the streets, you know, that sense that people talk about, that's because the bulk infrastructure is deteriorating. And that's because of operations and maintenance, refurbishment and upgrading. Essentially, the green drop scores average 45% nationally. That means the sanitation service is at 45%. We're in trouble. Okay, so that means it exists, but it's not working. And therefore, the resentment is not that I don't have a toilet and a flush that is not working. Okay, so that's the big issue, and we're at 45%. So we're in trouble by our own performance records. That's where the big problem is. As much as the big problem is those who don't have it, the looming problem is that we're going to constantly face this. Municipalities spent approximately 30%, this is a big one, so now this is when we spend the money, 30% of their 2011-12 capital budgets from National Treasury generally, and often other projects prioritize over sanitation. So that's the real issue. We're not spending our money for the purpose. And we want to keep that because we're going to come back to that at the end of the presentation. According to some records, our records and reports that we hear, is when money is set aside for sanitation, it's easier to fix a road and build a road and put a road contract out than it is to do sanitation. This is a problem. The money is put in a lump sum, make money. A certain amount is set aside for sanitation, but because it's a lump sum, it gets used elsewhere. So every year we defer the sanitation problem. So the money gets spent when it does get accounted for, but it's not used on sanitation. It's a big issue. How to oversight that? It's not that the money is not spent in instances. Some not spent, others spent, but not spent on sanitation. So we don't fix that. This issue is big because you're the oversight committee at the moment for that or parts of that. The big issue for non-performance overall is the growth of informal settlements. Okay. That impacts on sanitation services. And that impacts not just on sanitation services, because the current norm of one per so many households or that number within distance means that the quality in high-density settlements creates a lot of tensions in communities. So it's not that the sanitation service is not there, or as in the case of Makaka and here in Makaza, is the question is, what is the quality of that? So the resentment is not that we don't have even one toilet per household. What is the quality of that one toilet per household? So, and in fact, the ruling of the Human Rights Commission and the court, High Court, Cape High Court, is that the quality wasn't adequate and didn't fulfill the requirements of the Constitution. So numerically we're there, but there's something not quite right, and we know that. Okay. So then we go into the problem statement. We know that there were several challenges. I want to highlight three of those several challenges. There's seven there. At the center is inadequate governance of programs. It means we're not managing the collective programs well. The money comes from different places. There's a problem around governance. That's managing it. There's an institutional fragmentation of roles. I want to highlight that. And then the last two, it's about financial resources. We think it's less about that, but it's human resources and poor attention to effective operation and maintenance. Okay, so there's seven there, but I'm just highlighting what I think you need to look at and where we come from. There are three significant institutional shifts, and the chair has mentioned one of them. But by 2003, notwithstanding the Water Act and the sanitation function encapsulated within the Water Act, and in fact, the performance, if you see the problem statement, starts with the three basic sanitation implementation strategy 2009, and it's DWA related. Okay. The funding of sanitation moved in 2003 from DWA at the time to DPLG. That whole MIG process started impacting on reduced control of project implementation, and that split it. The second big institutional shift is something that we want to note rather, and it's the National Sanitation Sustainability Audit finding is 28% toilets constructed through government could fail in the short to medium term. So they were already notifying us of that shift in the institutional shift. And thirdly, that the National Sanitation Program moved from DWA to DHS. In an increased, what we call the fragmentation of the sanitation function, and we raise this because the highlighting is DWA still manages the information system and is responsible for regulation, but places significant less importance on sanitation. So that means it's not theirs, but it is theirs, somewhere in between. And DHS capacity in the sanitation sector is limited in its focus. It's focused largely on rural sanitation, and that's where you are working with them on the oversight. So this issue is leaving it a little blurred, and the chair has mentioned that. Okay, so we wanted to highlight that at the bottom. Again, this is a big one. You'll see that defining sanitation services comes out of both the Water Act, but largely out of the Strategic Framework for Water Services 2003. Okay, it describes the facility. Now, I'm not going to go through the detail around the facility. You can read that, and you generally know that. And it's the minimum basic facility. On-site sanitation is VIP for rural areas, and that's largely what that part of the function and the budget that went to DHS. Is largely focused on that. Where it's waterborne sanitation, it's the water part of the sanitation in urban areas. Water has to then go with sanitation. It's about density and health that correlate there, and hence the function in the original act being a national local government function. So it's the local government that manages that. Now, this issue around urban density and the numbers I'm going to come back to in a moment, because there's an important relationship between them and how we manage them and how we oversight them. I think that there's four key elements in the bottom part on the basic sanitation service entails. What does it entail? One is the facility, and I should have highlighted the provision of a facility. That's the description above. You know, what is it? And that's what the Human Rights Commission ruled on and the High Court ruled on. The problem was the facility wasn't adequate. Okay, so they comment on that. But sanitation is then made up of a second part. It's how the household is able, household or who deals with operations and maintenance of the facility. That's that part that we're talking about. VIPs, we know that it's the household. Waterborne sanitation falls into the domain of the public service. Then there's a third part, which is how do we make sure that there's a safe removal. Again, VIP is easy, relatively, but once it's waterborne, it relates to the water service flushing out. So that is the removal of waste. And then the fourth part of that is communication. And if you remember in my earlier description, I said just keep an eye on these things, communication about that. We're often very weak on communication, generally. DPME's main concern nationwide on a lot of our performance is sometimes our performance is good, we just don't know how to communicate our performance or the terms and conditions. We as a country are weak on that. Maybe it's because we move relatively fast on these things by other country norms. Okay, I just wanted to highlight that. I just also want to highlight, I want to go on to understanding sanitation needs. Now we're entering into the domain that the Human Rights Commission asked us for, but it's equally important for us as a country anyway. We define sanitation need because that's what they were asking us. Give us a state of sanitation across the country. We described it in five categories. Where there's service delivery backlogs, people who've never been served, they just never received a sanitation service. And in this country, it's big. Okay, and that's your number, and it's not small. But the refurbishment or deteriorating infrastructure is the problem that I was talking about, and that's the next biggest problem. That means even if you have it, it doesn't work as it should work, and it's on the brink of disaster. And that's what's causing a lot of unhappiness in communities. Then there's extension to backlogs. That means our settlement got it or our township got it, but we don't have it on the edge of the township, or the new houses are not properly served. Those are often, as the portfolio committee, you'll know that, because you often go to housing projects and it's not connected. That's those kinds of cases. And then upgrading needs to meet basic minimum standards generally, and then there's a set of O&M backlogs, and we'll come to that. So those categories are the big categories. The most important for you is the first one and then the second one. We'll come back, we repeat this so that the story repeatedly told as we go through it. Without going through detail, there's various sources of backlog information available. Most of it comes from Department of Water Affairs. Okay, that's the important thing. It's not logged in the Department of Human Settlements or National Treasury. Some of it is ultimately off Stats SA data, which is really good, and the new household survey is good. We, by the way, as DPME, have a good relationship with them on the structure of the new way of the general household surveys, how they run them so that the information is accurate. But mostly it's DWAR that holds the information. That's where it's held. If you want to know what's going on in this country, in fact, Cyprian, if I'm not mistaken, confirmed this, sits in DWAR offices, not in human settlement offices, because the data sets lie within DWAR. Cyprian, am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Your offices are in DWAR's offices, isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm just saying that it's still as a body constituted there. But the source of information is in DWAR. If you want to go, we could not produce this report for the Human Rights Commission without DWAR. I can assure you that. They hold all of the information sets that we need to account publicly. So I'm just bringing your attention to that. The focus area of this study is a lot of what we've covered earlier, so I'm not going to repeat any detail. It's how available is it? What's the quality? Third bullet. What requirements to ensure an adequate service? What's the technical capacity? It's a big issue. Okay, do we have the technical capacity? Is there technical support? And is the grant, the way that the grants are structured, adequate to finance what we need? this focus areas will result in the in when we go down to the recommendations, they go back to the focus areas. The focus areas account help us see how they say in an English saying, see the wood for the trees. Is that right? Okay. So, because we've got to be sure that we repeat ourselves and we can kind of start pulling the pieces and then get the focus right. The scope of the study was largely shaped by what the Human Rights Commission wanted. They wanted a fully populated geo-reference, the first bullet, countrywide community-level classification of quality. Okay, adequacy and functionality of sanitation services, experience, and they were big on it. We struggled with that. I'm not going to focus on it later, but they wanted to know what do citizens experience, not what do officials say. What do citizens experience? A little difficult for us to account for that. We could only use the information set. We couldn't do ask people within the 6 months they asked us to do the report. It was a big piece of work. They wanted to know the conditions of existing sanitation services or sanitation infrastructure, and what they meant by that included wastewater treatment work. Now we're going to come to that because that's a big issue. The wastewater treatment work is an elephant in the room. It is, okay? The identification of settlements where the quality of sanitation services does not meet the performances. Now we have this geospatial reference and we'll show you the images and it's in your report. It is big. And then a set of key challenges. Okay, so that's the scope of the study. I don't want to go through the methodology. You can go through it. I told you where the sources are. It's very clever. It's technologically right. It's multi-layered. It's very clever stuff. I can never even try to explain it fully, but it's a robust methodology applied. You know, it's cross-referenced to different data sets. It's really clever. Between Cyprian and Dwar, if you want a presentation on this by itself, it's really interesting. It's technologically clever. It allows us to see how advanced our country can be. So it's clever stuff. It's super stuff. It's the best in the world. Okay? It's really clever. Dwar has a handle on it. Cyprian knows how it works. It's clever stuff. Our country. No, it's, you know, when we questioned it because we said, can we account for it? It's clever. Our country is up there when you see the stuff. ESCOM's done its homework. It's GIS. It's modeled on maps. Google Earth. It's very, and they show you how they do this. Later on, we'll come back to the presentation. So I don't want to go through the detail. Just to tell you that it's good stuff. And Cyprian can take you through it at some time. It's just nice because it makes our country look good on one level, you know, where we get things right. So we know what's going on. We then did the classification services. Broadly, it's in two types, what's informal and what's informal. Okay, and then informal, we said, where is there no service? And then in the red, so that's the top purple, and then all the red are grouped as to kind of collectively infrastructure problems, then O&M, which is fix, and that color coding then follows the mapping we did and where their water supply needs. But that's in the formal. And then there's the green part, which is adequate. That means it works. That's where the country works. So that's not where we're worried about. And then informal is where there's no services, same like above, where there's the formal, but there's no services. And where it's adequate, informal, but what we need is upgrade and formalizing of housing. So kind of we broke it down. And you had to break it down, otherwise you can't explain the state of the country. Okay, so there's a categorization and there's a number. And then that number follows a series of maps. Just so it's big. Formal, informal, what works, what doesn't work in both. That's the broad categorization. This is the demographic profile, and this issue, I want to highlight, it's very difficult to try and read all of it, but I think some key things, it's like a global figure, and we'll come to the numbers. In the table, I think the highlight of it gives you the population estimates, the number of households and the percentage of population. The big numbers. Gauteng, 22% of our population, 11 million people, and 2,600 or 2,700 households. And the other big number, KwaZulu-Natal, then the rest, Eastern Cape is the next big number, but the big numbers, KwaZulu-Natal, 11 million people, or nearly 11 million, and households 1,754, and showing you that there are less households and almost as big population as Gauteng, and it tells you something about Gauteng. It's an amazing figure to show that smaller households in Gauteng. Partly related to informal settlement, highest proportion of informal settlement, and KwaZulu-Natal, largely rural, large number of settlements, and bigger households. But that's the big numbers that you want to keep your eye on. Okay, so that's just, you can read through the rest, but that's the one I want to bring your attention to. And that tells you something in the second part of the story, that the settlements, up to 87% of the settlements are in rural areas. So the concentration of big settlements, smaller number, big settlements, urban. And yet in population terms, there's more urban people than rural. So it says that the rural problem is dispersed and far and difficult for you to monitor. And in a sense, Chair, that's your point. Even on rural sanitation, your work will be huge because you are looking at more settlements. And in numerical terms, let's go through it. So then, on the right-hand side is the current population is 50 million, and now it just gives you some breakdown. The big one is the first bullet is 21.2 million, or 42% of the population, live in large metropolitan areas. And then 9.1 million, or 18%, live in medium-sized towns. That makes up 60% of our population. So big towns, smaller number of towns, smaller number of cities, but 60% of our population lives there. 44.5 million or 9% live in small towns or in rural areas, making that total, the first three bullets, 69% in urban. So nearly 70% of our population are urban in big towns. That's why that above map shows you in settlement terms, big urban population, small number of settlements. Rural population, 31% of our population live in dispersed small towns all over the country. And I think there's some 60, and you'll see on the top, 68,000 settlements. So in rural, you're looking at lots of little settlements with no sanitation dispersed. And so you have your work cut out for you when there's poor rural communities not very happy. So that explanation is important because it tells you how's our country made up? What are we looking at? What's the difficulty of what we're dealing with? Rural, poor, dispersed, low level of services. Urban, fairly good services, poor performing services. That's the big breakdown. That's the big split. Sanitation status, the national. The big numbers, I mean, you can read in the detail, but approximately 11% of our households, the bullet underneath, are formal, no services, and informal, no services, still have to be provided with sanitation. That equal almost the size of, in population terms, nearly 6 million people, that's the size of Limpopo. That's how many people, imagine it as this, I'm saying imagine it as that. The whole of Limpopo does not have sanitation. That's how big our problem is. It's a problem. Okay, so there's no doubt about our problem in the country. We've done very well over the last few years. I was just reading the World Bank's report. It is unkind to South Africa. The latest report on inequality. It's in my bag. Get a copy of it. It is unkind about us on sanitation. Okay, so it clearly says that. South Africa, compared to Brazil and India, has not done well. Says that. So 11% of households, the equivalent size of Limpopo, does not have sanitation in this country. There's a crisis. But we're saying there's an equal crisis, and we've told the Human Rights Commission, because if you only think that that's the problem, there's a bigger looming problem, and we're raising that with them because we're saying to them, don't say we didn't tell you that there will be more protests from people saying, well, we got sanitation, but it doesn't work. We got sanitation, but the quality doesn't meet what we require. So we've done well, but there's still going to be protests. And we are alerting you to it as well. 26% of households within formal areas have sanitation service which do not meet the standards due to the deterioration of infrastructure caused by the lack of technical capacity. We don't have the technical capacity to ensure its operations, its maintenance, refurbishment or upgrading. Pit emptying services. You hear this story all the time. The pits are full, they didn't get cleared. Okay. We are warning that this is a problem. Okay. And there's insufficient water resources. That means it does not flush. So those are stories you know. So we got the size of Limpopo without, and we got the size of, take your pick, Gauteng, almost the size of Gauteng, is the size of the crisis beyond that. That's how big it is. It's big. So it's not small. I don't want to go through the details here. Just go to the bottom line. And the bottom line, there's three big issues for you to look at. Of the households, about 8 million have adequate sanitation. We've done well. There's no doubt about that from where we come from. But in the big group, water resources needs, O&M and infrastructure needs, that's a huge group that makes up about 3 million, just over 3 million. So 3 million households, 8 million have good sanitation, 8 million are in trouble, and we're really in trouble with the purple line, which is 1 million, and no services, informal settlements largely, which is 300,000 households. Okay, so we're in trouble. That's where the big problem is. That's where your main problem is. Then there's the big group, and then that's how good we're doing. Okay. Here, the definition is community sanitation needs from zero, where there's no problem, and green and purple. Remember I showed you the colors earlier. Purple's where we're in trouble. You can see there's three big problem areas. KwaZulu-Natal, particularly the north, both red and purple, Eastern Cape and Limpopo, our biggest problems. You can see it's big, it's purple, it's red. This is done per those numbers are really good. That's those clever things I said that we know. This is what it tells us. Our problems are big, they're clear where they are and where they are worse off. Okay. This one tells us a similar picture, the national perspective, sanitation teams in terms of priority and types of backlog need, and it repeats the problem. And then it tells you where we're getting it right in the green. So you can also see that it's not easy because, for example, in large parts of Eastern Cape, it's not bad. Yet, in an adjacent part of Eastern Cape, it's really bad. So it's not a simple issue to say we'll get it right there. It's all Eastern Cape. It's not all Eastern Cape. It's very big patches and very good patches. So it's a very difficult patterning that we are seeing. We'll see for a moment in KwaZulu-Natal that on some of the water service side is not so bad. Yet overall KwaZulu-Natal is problematic. So it's very difficult to spot where we're going to come up with the problem and where people will be highly unhappy. It's not easy, and we're also alerting the Human Rights Commission, don't look for simple solutions and say, well, you'll get it wrong there and you'll get it right here. It's not so easy, and we're alerting you to that as well. And for officials, it's not easy either, when we come in a moment to the nature of the problem. Overall, what's called overall water service authority vulnerability. So that's the sanitation problem. Where's the water function not working well? Now, Water Affairs works it out by Water Service Authority. So authority, how is the authority function? They're saying in the little bullets on the left-hand side, 11% of water service authorities indicating they're operating in a satisfactory manner. This was based on a self-assessment by municipality with DWA going to each of them and saying, how good are you? So this is not even us saying you're good or bad. That means you're asking for self-approvals. Even with self-approvals, only 11% said they are operating satisfactorily. 42% say they are at risk. That means, well, we're at the edge. We're good or bad, we don't know. We think we are already on the edge. 38% said they're at high risk. That means we're in trouble, real trouble. And 9% that said they are in crisis. So this picture tells us by their self-assessment, with Dwa, we're not looking good. That means if Dwa did a proper appraisal, it may be worse off than it is. But we take their word for it, and it's not looking good. So we're in trouble. On the next one, stability of technical and financial capacity to plan, implement, operate, and maintain infrastructure. These are critical for the provision of basic sanitation services in urban areas. And you can see that it's based on that same thing, we're in trouble. I mean, I don't want to go through this, but you can see that we are in trouble. Fire Water Services Authority. There's a few areas, KZN, interestingly, up in the north, in the south, is strong. Gauteng is overall mixed, and Western Cape, even though it looks grand, has parts which are scary. Okay, so there are problems, even though we say some places are very good. Okay, their capacity to do their job is at risk. That's a problem there. Water treatment works, and we talked about those water treatment works. Just give me a second, yeah. Water treatment works. Generally, you can see it. I just want to point out on the left-hand side, under the total 826 municipal works, generally there's a problem. This comes from Dwa. And on the right-hand side, at the bottom right, is the description of where we are. So using the green drop per province, which I talked about earlier, interestingly, you'll see that Western Cape green drop is good. KwaZulu-Natal's green drop is good, and it has to be over 80% for green drop status. Of course, Gauteng looks bad, but it's on the edge, 79, just below, and then the rest, we're in trouble. So really, three provinces overall, from a green drop status, we're not so problematic, but we're definitely wrong in six of them. Okay, we're really wrong. You can see that some are as low as 23% in the Northern Cape, 32% in the Free State. That's a real crisis. Limpopo under 25%, and Northwest at 50%. So we're in trouble. On the good side is we're not so bad in areas that we thought, where the big population numbers are, we're not so bad. So you've got to look at it and say, how are we doing? It's not, you know, the numbers look bad, but we also need to kind of say where we're strong and how do we build on our strength. On this one, we're looking at the vulnerability of the wastewater treatment works, and we're doing the same thing, and we're looking at the same kind of image that we talked about earlier. Now let's go to the money. Okay, we know that the cost is not fully budgeted for, just on the right-hand side, high levels, needs for drastic reorientation to management of waterborne sewage and wastewater. So the three big provinces with the big population densities do have the capacity. There are some problems. We're alerting you to them at the same time. Yes, here's what we're talking about when we say the funding requirements. Now, this was a key component from the Human Rights Commission, and which we said would be in the scope of this work, not far from the end. Overall, we're not looking at the first priority zero because it doesn't apply, although there's some concerns about services, and overall in the first top grouping, that's about 5 billion. So if we fix that where we currently are, we won't have the kinds of concerns about protest, unhappiness, health issues. Where there are no services, that's your big worry. That's the one that we talked about, the size of Limpopo across the country. We need 13.5 billion to fix that. And that will fix that problem. It's not that big a number. We'll come back to it. And thirdly, around the infrastructure needs in sum total, that's number two there. We're talking about some 30 billion. So overall, in big numbers, we're talking about 30, 40, 50 billion, and we'll come back to that 50 billion number. Now, that's in a recessionary budget period, and the minister has commented on that. Are we in trouble? 50 billion is a lot of money on one hand. Let's see where our sources for this are. Okay, so the funding requirements to meet minimum sanitation services. As I said, the first bullet in blue on the left-hand side, to meet the unserviced requires an estimate allocation of 13.5 billion. That's what we're talking about. That's what we need. The infrastructure, as I told you, 31 billion. We can upgrade that. Interestingly, importantly, current MIG allocations for water and sanitation amount to 6.4 billion per annum. That means we could knock our backlog off in 2 years. If we spend it in the right places, not building roads and pavements. So you've got to make sure that we steer the money where it's supposed to go to. That's a big job, and all of us have to keep on it. So from DPME's point of view, Dwyer, Human Settlements, and the Portfolio Committee's oversight is spend the money where it's supposed to go to, and we can fix this problem. Okay. The fourth bullet there. The allocation of the equitable share for operations and maintenance varies widely across municipalities, and being an unconditional grant, that means it goes there. That's the point we were making, Ernie. Inadequate funds are generally allocated for maintenance. So that's a big job now. So now we've got to go chase those municipalities and say, are you fixing this or are you using it to do more pavements? You've got to keep an eye on that. That's very difficult because it's an unconditional grant. They'll say, you can't tell us how to spend it. It's our decision to do that. We think that parks are more important at that moment. It's their right to do that. And municipalities, worse, often reallocate funding to other projects from the sanitation or water project that has been approved. They're allowed to do that, and they do that. And usually they do that because they don't have the capacity to oversee it, because the technical capacity is not there to secure the money and secure the contract implementation. That's the problem. We know that's the problem in our country. So let's look at the funding on the right-hand side. The MIG grant is there. The equitable share is there. And that makes up MIG, $6.4 billion per annum for water. 2 years, we could knock this up. MIG, $34 billion over that period. The equitable share. Municipal revenue, we know that there's a problem with regard to consumer debt. But notwithstanding that, municipal revenue does come in. Big municipalities run budgets the size of departments. There are conditional grants which could be used for these things that go up to $27 billion over the MTF period. And there are other grants like park infrastructure grants and, of course, the rural household infrastructure grant, which we haven't counted in about. That means, which we want to point out, if the requirement is $50 billion, and total direct conditional grants over the MTF is $90.8 billion, can we steer the money to where we think we need it most? If the Human Rights Commission is saying that the number one issue in this country, in their opinion, is dignity and sanitation is dignity, then steer the money for that. Okay, so we say it makes you think. Over the next 3 years, most funding goes to water and sanitation. Backlog can be wiped out. We can get to it. It's not impossible, but it means oversight, steering, directing, building capacity. Let's go into the details. Key findings. There's been progress in providing basic sanitation. We've said that. We've reduced the numbers. I don't want to repeat that. Second bullet. Sanitation services are available to 64% of the popular quality sanitation. 11% of households, 1.4 million informal and informal settlements, don't have any sanitation. So we're repeating that. And 26% need some form of sanitation service upgrade. So we've said that. That's the key findings. We've repeated it now. We understand it. It's drummed in. We needed to know it as DPME so that we can account wherever we are required to. And so did the other four departments, including Treasury. But why haven't we achieved that? And we've been through some of those. Fragmentation of responsibility, the first one. Lack of technical capacity at local government level. We know that's a big one. okay, we've agreed, the technical capacity. Even when the money's there, they can't do it. So that's a problem. We've got to deal with that. We know that there's a high turnover of staff for all sorts of reasons. I'm sure you've been through it yourselves. You know that. There's ineffective support programs to municipalities. You need to meet with your colleagues in DCOG about this and SALGA. Call them in. You know, this is the issue. It is the key issue in the country. There is a lack of adequate financial planning. How does the money come and arrive for the purpose and never get spent for it? Why does it happen? How does that happen? How do accounting officers allow that to happen? Yeah. Inappropriate use of allocated funds. If the money is there for sanitation, a road gets built. How did that happen? We know roads are also important, but what's first? What should we prioritize? And then we know that municipalities are just not looking after their money. A lot of the money should come out of municipal revenues. They're not collecting them. Okay, so those are the reasons that we're not getting this right. So we conclude, getting closer to it. There are really five conclusions. Get the five key issues. Planning, there's a series of critical issues. We give the detail. They master plans for municipalities, capital finance plan. Who owns this plan? Is it DWA? Is it the Water Service Authority? Is it Human Settlement? Is it DCOG? Is it the MIG money? We must get that right. This is at this stage in our country, this is just a matter of meeting to resolve it and getting it right. It's not from a lack of money. Of course, there are some capacity concerns, but if you bring the five sets of agencies into a working arrangement, we should be in a better position. Okay, so that's a lot of coordination and planning, and that's not impossible to overcome. We know that there's a capacity issue. Well, let's address it. Let's ask, how do we do that? And the bodies concerned, there are other agencies like the DVSA. Why aren't we using them to best effect? They exist. So capacity is the third one. Second one. Funding is not so much the lack of funding, it's the ability to use it well. And the underspending of operations and maintenance budgets. That's why we're not directing that. So we think that we're getting clearer. If we just keep to this game plan, we're going to pull it off. Institutional fragmentation is a big issue. Roles, responsibilities, regulation, implementation, monitoring and evaluation activities, it's quite minimal and it's quite diffuse. It's too diffuse. Just like we say, planning is diffuse, monitoring and evaluation. Therefore, this agency responds to this committee, that set of bodies respond to that committee. That's problematic. It's too diffuse. We can't see the whole picture at once. We must see the whole picture at once in this instance, otherwise we can't get on top of it. We then say performance monitoring frameworks and KPIs are currently primarily for the green drop assessments. MIG has a reporting system. Mostly financial information goes through DCOG. Other frameworks have been used, DWA, CSR, National Sanitation Sustainability Audit. So there's a number of instruments. Why aren't the instruments used at one place at the same time? So we conclude, these were the issues I raised about community participation. I don't want to talk to those. That's really for the Human Rights Commission. There are some important issues for yourself about how we engage with them. You may want to talk to the Human Rights Commissions on their hearings nationally, so that you are present at them at the same time. And there were questions of principles to pay with the recent court rulings. There was something we ran a comment on that as well. What do we require to get to an adequate level of services? And we're reaching conclusion now at the second last slide. These are the substantive components, and then the next slide is just about the procedure. We believe, but it's up for discussion. We're going to take the matter forward. It's put to you. It will be put to the other portfolio committees as well. One, the establishment of a single national sanitation unit, first and foremost. We suggest it's within DWA, based on what we've seen and how we're reinterpreting the information. But the principle, single national sanitation unit, not fragmented. Okay. We think it should be with DWA because they have the data set to manage this and the interface. That's our view, and that's how we're taking it forward, to support, plan, regulate, and monitor service implementation provision. So just break that up. We could have made it in more detail, but one unit, We're suggesting two, that one unit be in Dua, and these are the reasons. Okay, but you can debate that. But it's one unit is the more important principle. There are legislative amendments to resolve issues of oversight planning, financial allocations, and accountability. We must rewrite the legislation to be more precise on this matter. That means a team comes together, Dua, DCOG, Human Settlements, National Treasury, possibly SAUGA, and you sit down and you work out what legislative amendments do we need to get this right, based on what we're just saying, including the flows of finance. Three, it's obvious, improve coordination support programs to municipalities. This function in the Housing Act, in the Water Act, says that it's Water Service Authority responsibilities, which means local, the equivalent, almost equivalent to local authorities. If they cannot do this, we're in trouble. So let's get that right. We know that we must upgrade municipal staff skills. The MISA has been established. What do we do about national and non-provincial? And then support on basic services in municipalities where backlogs are most acute. And we know that. We saw it on the map. We can spot them. You can see the colors. We can break it down. They're done by province. We know where the worst problems are. Just ask for that. Say, here's the report. Here's the worst municipalities. Those municipalities and those provinces account for upgrading that 1.2 million households. Tell us. We know where they are. Which ones exactly? Call them in. This is just a process step. So we know what we said that we want to achieve by 2014. We believe the issues in this project will be taking this to the executive. We had to report it to the Human Rights Commission. So it's there. It's with them. It's in the public domain. This matter we must bring to the attention now, in the same way that we're taking it simultaneously through you back to the executive and say that's what we're seeing. Okay? And then, of course, we say, which I concluded with earlier, those households which are underserved and not served and underserved, we need to meet the performance norms and standards. And that responsibility falls back into where the authority and responsibility lies for oversight. That's our conclusion of this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bauda. Mr. Bauda was once an acting teacher in Human Settlements. So, Jamazi, is just a diplomatic person. He's just diplomatic. Thank you very much, Mr. Walter. I think this presentation is a very, very worthwhile before the portfolio committee. But I must also reiterate that the issues that have been raised in this report, those are the issues that have been observed, by this portfolio committee. In your slide, that was relating to KZN, the concentration of the services. We have been there in KZN. I think it would also be appreciated if DPNE can also refer, because when you are consolidating your report, you must also consider the Parliament report. Parliament reports are very much critical on this matter, what Parliament is doing in its oversight. So there is a KZN report that stipulates clearly what is going on there. So this committee is very much aware of the situation. We have been to Gauteng. We have got a report that has been adopted by Parliament too. You can see those areas that are identified there, they are there. We have been to Eastern Cape. All these issues have been raised by this committee. We have been to Free State. And when this committee is doing oversight, we don't look just at a flat house as a unit. We look at an integrated approach of service delivery. sanitation, we prioritize. The experience that we have had, houses are built with some are not connected. Even in areas where there is water. In Nelson Mandela, think of Nelson Mandela, Phakathi Town, where you will find that houses are not connected. So it goes back to the accountability and responsibility. It's how our officials, the work ethics. So it's an issue of all of us, collective issue that we need to address it. Our executive authorities, I think they have to strengthen their mechanisms of monitoring. Because not Fialand Elaji, Mbawabo, but Bona, they are hands on the delivery of services. Then you will find in areas where there is no water, but they put another waterborne system. And then what do you call that? And then you get to an area excuse me, where you find the VIP, the same VIP system. It's not maintained. It's full. Where they are trying to empty it, that mess, it just comes up. So the experience you are sharing with this committee, it's not something new, but we appreciate that what we have observed as this committee, the DPME has also observed it. It means we are together. We are doing oversight. You are doing the oversight. Monitoring. So, we are all together in this ship. So, we have been to Eastern Cape. Tina, this committee, we went to the deep rural areas. We don't go to cities. We do go to cities, but we prioritize rural areas. We have been to Adelaide. Our last oversight was in July. We were in Eastern Cape. We went to the least end of the Drakensberg Mountains. We were there, Tina. We were there. All those municipalities under the Drakensberg Mountains. We have seen the situation of what is going on there. We have been to Omanubayete, all those areas. Those areas that you have mentioned in your chart. We know what is going on as this committee. That is why these departments, they know us. We are holding them accountable and we are very hard on them. They know them. That as my friends, we are not begging them. So that is why we feel betrayed about this recommendation. Because I think you should have omitted to say within DWA, because we still believe that DWA has been very unfair to the Department of Human Settlements. Why we are saying so? One, what we were expecting would immediately, once the president announced his proclamation, these departments should have sat together and then the information was transferred. This is not the first function that has been transferred. We have seen this with rural development. And the legislation that was transferring sectional titles to human settlements. We only took 3 months as this portfolio committee to demonstrate that we are serious about the political decisions that are taken by the president. Within 3 months, we completed two sets of legislations, and they passed Zange, Zidibane, Nekot, even Nekot litigation. They went through smoothly. We are observing now the estate agencies have been transferred to human settlements, this board, whatever, I don't know what it is, because they have not yet come before us. Which means we still have a lot of ahead of us to make sure that there is, and our understanding, the legislations that are used there are pre-1994. So, Dina, we are confident. President has spoken. So that is something, they were unfair to the department. Secondly, I must raise this. We attended a meeting. It was in preparation of Rio, yeah. You know, we were so humiliated as this portfolio committee. We were so humiliated. And you know, we put the blame to DPNT in the presidency because we believe that you should have championed the transfer of this. For one reason, it's not nice. This transfer did not come palatable to the Department of Water Affairs. It was not at the beginning. It was not. We were receiving tests that you are sitting with a function and then you don't have with legislation. What is that? And we know very well that when the department is consulting, wanting to get in fact, we wanted an information. And then we were told that information is within the Department of Water Affairs. Why are they not sharing that information? Secondly, why are those officials from Dwa did not respond when they were supposed to take a transfer? Because that problem, they refused, officials refused to take a transfer from Water Affairs to Department of Human Settlements. We have got that report at the beginning of this rig. So, Nina, you are held ransom by the officials of Department of Water Affairs. I must just point say so. Because they want to give you such a wonderful information. It's good. It's welcome. It's good, that report. It's welcome and it's appreciated. But it does not mean that this function must remain to them. And I must assure you, we have been to Kigali last year, Rwanda, as this portfolio committee. You can go and see our report there. It's there. Sanitation, it does not reside in all these countries, does not reside in Water Affairs. It's in other portfolios, it depends to the president. State of the president, if a president, you know, ufuna we delegate her to function. So, you will find it in health, you will find it in water, you will find it in human settlements, you will find it in local government and also other areas. Lastly, I'm happy that you have listed these grants. This portfolio committee has already commenced overseeing municipalities in terms of spending their MIG funding. We have been there. We called them because we told them that they are supposed to set aside a certain percentage for sanitation, I mean for human settlements, development, infrastructure. So we have observed that this in the Eastern Cape only, we have observed that need has not been spent, let alone spent appropriately. So So we have done over till now, since we have done so. So all these grants we have monitored them. We have started on the 17th of this month. Not last month now. September now. We held a meeting with COPTA. We held a meeting. It was COPTA, Treasury, Appropriations. It was a joint session with Appropriations. So Human Settlements was there. FSC was there. And FSC is supporting Human Settlements, that sanitation is better place at Human Settlements. Those people must bring that good information to us, transfer information, and then we run the problem. Honourable members, I'm sorry for this, because I thought it is important to give this background of this information. May I give you the opportunity to comment? Honourable Fifth, Honourable Tole, Bona, Honourable Jab.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. You are always the sweeper, but today you were the first one. So you've swept everything. We concur with your sweeping remarks and statements. I think this sanitation issue has gone quite a while now. All those meetings, all those consultations we've been through. But I think one must appreciate this presentation, because for once you are not fudging the figures and you are not fudging the reality. I've listened to you quite extensively, and you've been saying trouble, trouble, trouble. Yes, we are there. We always call it an elephant in the room, quite rightly so. We're trying to push it into a hole. So we are very much pleased with how we're going to get it out, because of it's already in the room. So thank you very much for that. And I think the issues are well documented. What you are saying, and what I appreciate about this document, is that it's clear and concise on the issues, and it's not hiding anything. We would wait for the Ministerial Sanitation Task Team that Mr. Chauke will present next week, Friday, just to see whether it will marry with what you have found on the ground. We know what we have seen on the ground, and I think the Chair have said it quite a mouthful, because of the bone of contention has always been that the bureaucrats, you come with figures that are not a practical reality on the ground. But I think for once, this at least try to marry what we are seeing on the ground with what you are saying to us. Yes, we've been to the Drakensberg. Chair, you forgot to say that we even took pictures.
Yes.
So we've been to the Drakensberg. We've seen what happens in the deep rural areas, and thank you for that. So at the end of the day is what next? Because of the issue that you are putting on the table that will surpass everything would be you are making a recommendation to transfer to DWA. And I think DWA is holding us ransom because of they've got the monopoly of water, because of the issue of the waterborne system. And I don't think that we should fall in debt, because my logic says you cannot build a house without a toilet. It's as simple as that one. So it should remain in Human Settlement because of that important fact, that there's no way you can have a house or a home without sanitation. So it makes sense for it, apart from the proclamation by the President, which is the highest office, that we got to oblige to. But I think the issue at hand here is that we as Human Settlement, you spoke about issue of oversight. That's what we need to do. We got to make sure that we conduct more oversight on this, and we clean our house and make sure that we can deliver on this mandate. Because 2014 is coming, the RIP is going to an end, the MDG goals are coming as well. So by then we would be having a rat race, and with the pace that we are going at, I'm afraid that we would not reach those targets. So COPTA cannot claim to have any authority on this one. They can't spend on the MIG funding. How would they even want to even have a much bigger responsibility while they're always crying capacity, capacity? You know? So the issue at hand is then what next? And I think as a committee we are strong on that one. We want to keep this one here. But we don't want to keep it just for the status of it.
Yes.
We want to keep it to make sure that we deliver and we've got the capacity to do so. It's quite, we are one of those committees that visits the rural areas. When you go to these rural areas, people don't even know that there is parliament. They would say, oh, members of parliament, you are grounded. We thought you are somewhere in Cape Town. So it shows that housing is seized with matters on the ground. And the most biggest issue on the ground is sanitation and basic services. Water must solve their issues with making access to drinkable water. That's what they must be seized with. We must be seized with building houses that has got adequate sanitation. So the mandate is quite clear. I don't see why DWA would want to monopolize this issue of sanitation. Let them make us have the blue drop that we have to must have, and we must be seized with the green drop. It's two parallel systems that we need to follow here. And I think this is what we need to do. Our responsibility, and we are taking quite a very proactive process. We want to clean out the RIP. We know that it's got a mess. We are not happy with the implementation. We are busy with that one. The minister is away. And I think when it comes to urban settlement, that is why we are calling on these metros to come and account on the spending of the USDG. Because if they spend that USDG adequately, then you don't have a problem of waterborne system in informal settlement. Because of they will be having those grants. So the issue of conditional grants, they are there. You are saying it very much well. It's a question of level of planning and capacity and oversight on this thing. And that is what we need to do. So on our side, we got to do more oversight and we got to make more vigorous planning and monitoring that these things are happening. And you've mentioned one issue that's very important in conclusion, Chair. It was that the involvement of the citizens on what they want on this one. I think often that is what the bureaucrats always forget, that it's about what the citizens are feeling on the ground and what they want. And often we politicians will come and naturally would persist with their feelings and try to make you things that, you know, you would not necessarily do because of you don't get that feeling on the ground. And that's what you need to do. So definitely what needs to happen is the citizens and the communities should be involved, and I'm happy that you've included it as part of your conclusions. So it should remain with human settlement, but we've got to do our homework and make sure that we get our basics right and deliver on this one. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we thank you, the presenter, for this presentation. But after getting this presentation, the more we are being confused. Because the presenter says all the resources are still with DWA. The answer that is coming to my mind, how can the Department of Water Affairs have all resources, whereas the proclamation or the announcement by the President says everything will move from DWA to human settlement. What do the human settlement have now? And who's supposed to plan? Is it human settlement or DWA? Are we saying now the announcement by the President was just an unfruitful announcement? Because the report says that. So I think Chairperson, there's nothing that we can say more because we stick to our guards that the sanitation must stay with human settlement because we cannot build a house without the sanitation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to join my colleagues in thanking the presenter. And Chairperson, we have said mouthful together with my colleague Makalapa has just added, but there are just very few things that I would like to point out. Like the
the KZN, especially in the northern area of KZN. I wonder what's actually happening, because in the Northern Natal we are having a big dam that can be used. We can't say water is a problem, especially in the Northern Natal. There is a very big dam there. Another thing I'm worried about this Udwa, that Udwa can hold you ransom after the president has pronounced. How can you build a house without a toilet? How can you do that? You build a house here, then you wait for another department to build a toilet. While the people are using this house, what is happening with the toilet? Because human settlements have to build a house together with the toilet. And I'm also worried about the rural areas, because those people, it's true that what Honorable Makhalaba has been said, that because other people in rural areas, they said, we didn't know that members of parliament have ever come to the rural areas. That we don't know whether they are supposed to come to rural areas. We don't know where they operate. They are operating where they are supposed to operate, maybe in rural, in urban areas and parliament, and end up there. In rural areas, is there no other means of making, of building toilets than even if there is no water, but trying something that is going to assist people in rural areas if you are complaining about water? There is the 50 billion. Is this, we need 50 billion in order to cover the whole country. We need 50 billion. Does this 50 billion be maybe in hand, let's say, from 2012 to 2014, then we make percentages that this year is so much percentage, is that what we need? Or we just need a lump sum of 50 billion? There is another one. There is this toilet, open toilet. This is not the human settlement baby. It's the same Dwa that wants to take over. They want to take over in order to continue building open toilets. Open toilets. No, we cannot allow that. This Dwa is not going to take toilet sanitation from human settlements. I heard your recommendation, but no, I'm totally against. It should go along with housing. Sanitation should go with housing. Not to go back to, because we are saying, oh, because these people are having water. No, that's not an excuse. No, it's not. They have to transfer everything to human settlement. Then we have to start afresh, then correcting their wrong by closing these open toilets. They can't do that. We can't just give them that to continue building open toilets. No, we cannot do that. And let me pause the Chairperson, then. Maybe if I get time, maybe. Okay. Thank you.
In the open
field and open toilet.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Actually, I am partly covered. firstly to thank the presenters for the information, very valuable information. I must say it's a pity that the document itself in some areas is unreadable. But anyway, we'll take care of that. But otherwise, the information is very useful. I think on the question of transfer, I want to agree with my colleague here that sanitation as it is now, according to the President's proclamation, in our opinion, in my opinion too, from experience as well, is well placed in the human settlement. I think as Honorable Mukhalapa puts it, how does the Human Settlements Department build a house and then wait for the water access to come and put a toilet? It doesn't make sense. And also, we know it's about the control of water. Department of Water Affairs is concerned about the water supply in the country. But it's not only the toilet, sanitation that uses water. Industries use water. And you don't transfer the responsibilities of the Department of Trade and Industry to Water Affairs just because the industries use so much water in the country. There are many other areas that use a lot of water. What we need here is for the departments that are concerned, the departments that make use of water, to sit together and see how, for instance, we can be able to ensure that South Africa's water supply is taken care of. We know that South Africa is a water scarce country. So they must sit together. But saying that it must be transferred to DWA, I think it will be taking us back. Because in any case, for all these years, the DWA has been responsible for sanitation. But it is only now that the function has been transferred to human settlements that those people in the rural areas are beginning to see some light, that the toilets are coming to them. Because if it is underwater, it is underwater, then the Department of Water will concentrate only in areas where there is water, in the cities, in the towns. They forget about us in the rural areas. And yet, as you show yourself, that there are many people who live in the rural areas, but they also need attention as much as those who live in the urban areas. What I'm trying to say is, for me, it is well situated in human settlements. What is needed is coordination among the departments that make use of water in the country. Secondly, while I'm still talking about the rural areas benefiting, there's something positive here, Chairperson, which I would like to say. You know, I visit areas far away from mine. In my area, there's nothing happening. I'm a Latin municipality and so on. I've never seen any of the sanitation programs that are happening, and yet they're supposed to be there. But never mind that. I go to other areas, rural areas sometimes, like this very weekend I'm going to Mzimkulu. I was there again in July, and I had been there before. There had been toilets that were very awkwardly built before, very awkwardly built. I know we came back here to our committee and talked about the technology that CSIR has, and that we're encouraging the department to encourage the contractors to buy into this technology, because that technology also takes care, very good care, of the kind of toilets that you can build in rural areas. Because what you need really for a toilet in a rural area or anywhere else is that you should be able to clean it. It should be possible to clean it. It should be comfortable. Doesn't matter if it's a septic toilet. But if it is comfortable and, importantly, you are able to keep it clean, you see, that's what we need. Now, I must say, Chairperson, there's something here for me which is really positive. I went to Mzimkulu again in July, and this very same house, which before had a very awkward toilet, you know, which was impossible to clean, it's got a beautiful one this time. very comfortable to use. It can be easily cleaned, it's spacious, and the seat is comfortable, and the toilet is lockable. And I understand the very village I'm going to, the other village I'm going to over this weekend, when I go there to bury my relatives, you might wonder why I go there. The other village I'm going to visit this coming weekend, there is a program already that the toilets are being built. And the comments from the community already is that they are very happy with the toilet. But I'll see it for myself. I'll come back and tell you. But I'm hopeful. So I'm trying to say here that a lot of research has been done by CSIR to see what kind of toilets could be suitable for the rural area. There's a large variety. We saw it when we went there at the Committee on Women's Settlement. All that we need to do is for the department to buy into this and make use of such technology. But on capacity, again here, I think there is no excuse really, absolutely no excuse. We have a Department of Education. Why can't the department sit together and say, what does this country need? In all areas. And then we say, what role can education play in ensuring that we achieve what this country needs? In other words, on the question of training, why don't we say human settlements is short of this kind of technicians? The department of another department, industry, is short of this kind of technicians. And then we say, our syllabuses, our content of education must address this need. Instead of producing people who are not relevant to the needs of the country, they move around with their nice certificates and they can't get jobs. And yet if we train according to the needs of the country, in my opinion, this should be possible. To do away with this problem that we are having at all levels, government and otherwise, the question of capacity. I put that suggestion that let's look back, sit again and review the methods of working and the departments to work together. Education department must use those funds to train people that the country needs, not just for the sake of it.
Thanks. My mind will be shorter. The Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation has been allocated in the president. It was not a mistake. Now, if now the president has spoken, the officials decided to work against that. What is that? If you can't comply with what the president is saying, that means another thing. Your the commission and my colleague, it's not relevant. Because you are supposed immediately when this function has moved to human settlement, then you follow as the one who's doing the monitoring. We are coming up with a suggestion that this man must go back to what is the motivation from there? Because immediately when the president announced we are supposed to follow. And then after the 2 to 3 years, we are coming with the decisions that we are going to recommend. That we must go. Whether you have faith, first, to monitor to ask now, I have to say, this is, if the president has decided, every board must follow. Everyone, any minister must follow this same sense.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the presenter for his presentation. I thought I'm not going to speak on this matter, but I think there are politics within this sanitation issue. Chairperson, the President, I think if now we get a report from the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, which is situated within the presidency, that sanitation must go back to Department of Water Affairs.
then that on its own is telling us that someone somewhere misled the president into believing that sanitation can be transferred to human settlement from the Department of Water Affairs. So it also brings to our attention that there are politics within this sanitation thing. What is it? What are the politics behind the sanitation? I think we need to go deeper into this issue of sanitation. Why am I saying that, Chairperson? It's because I was telling Kwezi now that maybe you should bring a sanitation professor, like the one whom we brought here for the... Yes, I think maybe we'll find a solution by doing so. The other thing that I want to know, Chairperson, is why is it difficult to transfer abomzala the sanitation to human settlement? Because I agree with my colleagues that sanitation belongs to human settlement. It is no longer a department of housing, but a department of human settlement. You cannot settle people where there is no sanitation, there are no roads, there's no electricity, and all that. So I don't understand, and I believe that a small percentage of people in this country are those that are using water from toilets. The majority of the people in South Africa are using this VIP toilet, which doesn't need water. Those people in the rural areas need water to wash their hands, to drink, and all that. But when it comes to sanitation, yes, for those in the cities, in small towns, in the township, they need water for that. But it doesn't mean that water cannot be transferred to sanitation to follow ikakayako chau. So I think, Chairperson, there are politics here. And I think as a portfolio committee, we need to dig deeper to find the root cause of why is it impossible for Department of Water Affairs to transfer everything that goes with sanitation to human settlement. I'll cite an example of two departments, Department of Education and Department of Transport. You know, scholar transport used to reside within the Department of Education. While the basic mandate of Department of Education is teaching and learning, they have nothing to do with cars that transport learners. So I think I agree with my colleagues that sanitation should remain with human settlement, like the president adequately announced that sanitation must reside within the Department of Human Settlement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, he said it should never be forgotten that sanitation is dignity. I'm agreeing with you wholeheartedly. And dignity is a basic human right. I'm saying, as a portfolio committee of human settlement, we are saying that sanitation is our baby. We'll see how to feed it. We'll see how to take care of it. And then again, my colleagues have just covered me, the chairperson especially, when you sweep. So all my honourable my colleagues have covered me, Chairperson. I don't want to waste more time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I won't say much. My colleagues, I'm a service worker. Got in some of the few things.
Chair, here we find ourselves sitting with a function without legislation. Why? And we inherited more problems from Dwa. I go on our way to Lama problems from open toilets. Lama problems vele eswatola khona. Then we've been to different provinces, and there are more new houses that are being built without connections, even if water is just nearby. So it shows that the problem is going on. We've changed our name from housing to human settlements. Why? It's because we needed to give our people dignity. And sanitation and houses goes hand in hand. You can't separate a house from a toilet. There's no logic in that, Chair. Why do we have to separate that? We agree that South Africa has not done well in this. But moving up and down, Jefferson, as a country, it won't assist us, really. Because as a human settlement, we are now starting to circle with this baby, that is sanitation, and it's being taken away now. Why it was given to human settlement in the first place? Why? I think research has been done properly. Njengoba uPracho ashilo ukuthi ubani esifuna ukumuzwa uma ngabe singakwazi ukuzwa uPresident. I don't think uPresident can sleep and wake up athi sanitation must go to human settlement without any research. Uma ngabe kunjalo, it means we've got a serious problem in our country. I don't think we can be able to build houses without toilets. So this really, we have to dig deeper to get reality. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm going to give also to DG. There's a precedent that has been set. We're not going to entertain any stories that sustain constitution, legislation, and so on. There is a precedent that has been set. As it is, has been administered by the province. Today, they are administered directly by the National Department. And this parliament, what do we amend the constitution? So those excuses we can't in that case. There is a precedent. Yeah, if it is, we are finished. There is a precedent for rural development, transfer of legislation, we are finished. Where is the collaboration and integrated planning? Where is it within these national departments? Why are they not implementing it? All of us, we sing one and the same song. But in South Africa, we've got a problem of integrated collaborative planning. Every day, also as my public podium, Kenya's politicians, we sing one and the same song, but no one is prepared to listen to us. Intoni umsebenzi bureaucrats in this country. There are delivery agreements. Water access, human settlements, and COCT. They were presented before this portfolio committee. Where are those delivery agreements? We are glad that Mr. Vauta has mentioned the issue of other agencies. DPSA has been before this portfolio committee twice. We are trying to demonstrate to you that we are doing our work. DPSA confirmed to this committee that they have deployed about 250 technical support to the municipalities. Secondly, the Department of Human Settlements has got the two band professionals, which are not utilized appropriately by the provinces. We have asked a question to the minister last week to say, Mawaspalele, what are these Cuban doctors doing, professionals doing here in the Department of Human, where are they located? And then what are they doing? So with this issue of capacity, yes, we can say it, but it's not so bad. DPSA has been partnering with Human Settlements. We have been to Elliot Bay. We visited a project there. The toilets are going to be in the toilet. That's why I'm going to go to the toilet. And I'm going to sit at the toilet. Office space. That's one one. Office space. So we have got the skills. The only thing we need to tap in on those skills. We have been to CSIR, this committee. See, level one, technology. We have been there. Tomorrow, CSIR is here again to brief us. And the Department of Human Settlements, we want you here tomorrow. Those people are busy with sanitation because there's another specialist that is going to present the sanitation options. We have gone through. We are out. We are getting the information by all means. To such an extent, we are preparing ourselves to have a workshop on sanitation, to prepare, to empower ourselves on how to conduct our oversight, sanitation oversight, effectively and efficiently. That is this committee. We are prepared to do that. We have submitted an application to Parliament to do that. So we have done so effort. We are serious. Now we are told that no, the recommendation is there. Thank you very much, Mr. Mount. Can you just respond so that we release you? I think this was a long, long, long session for you. Thank you very much.
Chair, I think that your generous indication of my relationship with this committee is a useful starting point. I have a long history, and I must tell you that I'm impressed with your monitoring responsibilities and oversight. It's not from a lack of failure on your side to fulfill your obligations. I think the lack of failure probably lies elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So let me say that. I would be amiss to my DG and my minister to say it is our responsibility to monitor you monitoring your functions. It's not our job. We are a performance monitoring unit with a set of responsibilities to the outcomes of this government. And there are certain elements which we are expected to do. Mm. So it's not for me to report to you on the performance of sanitation and why it works or doesn't work. That is not the objective of the report we brought to you. That is your department's responsibility. And your point about it by several of you is, well, if the legislative responsibility has shifted, then the legislative review should have been brought to you for your attention to tell you that this matter is happening. These are the implications. Here's the staff implications. It is not really for DPME to report to you what the sanitation function is in your division of responsibility. The department should bring it to you. So I hear you, but it is not. I cannot account for the sanitation function's performances or the issues we raise. What we raise with you is a report that we presented to the Human Rights Commission on as an objective state of what is happening in the sector in order to reply to what they think is a constitutional obligation. So we have reported to them on behalf of this government saying, objectively, this is what we see. In it, we do make a recommendation, which I hear that you are unhappy about. But we make it from an objective point of view. If you think that there's a political issue to be resolved, that's correct. It is within your domain to raise the political issue and say, how did this occur? That they, your same presidency gives an objective perspective on the conditions of sanitation and alerts us to the fact that the unit responsible to this committee does not have all of the capabilities required for sanitation. How that gets resolved is what you are raising. I cannot answer for that, and I cannot answer on behalf of the president for that either. I can only tell you what we told the Human Rights Commission. We said objectively, here's the lay of the land, here's the bodies of people, here's the legislation, here's the skill sets, here's the problems. We must be, otherwise we would have failed the country, because the Human Rights Commission has a constitutional obligation to fulfill to our society, and we are asked to tell them how have we fulfilled it. We are saying generally we fulfilled it, these are some of the, this is the lay of the problem. So that is really what this report does. It tells you what we told the Human Rights Commission. You are correct to say, listening to us, what would you think needs to be done? That is in your domain and in a discussion with the department about these issues that you've raised. For example, why have the legislative amendments not been effected? If you've moved from housing to human settlements, do you want to raise with them, has sanitation become a legislative function of our committee? Brief us. You are correct. Ask them to brief you. What your responsibilities are now as a result of the function moving. The department must brief you, and they must brief their minister. So please, it's not DPME's job to have done that. The function moved, the department must fulfill its obligations to you. I think I want to just cover that. Some smaller matters which were raised, not smaller, important matters, but perhaps need to... Basically, I gave you a state of the problem, the institutional capacity, I've told you that, and the functional split. We've covered that, and you know that. Therefore, you can see it objectively, and you can make a better call on it. There is no policy framework, and there's legislative amendments to be effected. There is no policy framework that readjusts it. It's governed by the existing policy legislative framework. You need to look at that and ask the department and DWA to relook at the policy framework to accommodate the passing of the function. You've been oversighting a function assigned to you. There is no legislative framework or policy framework for that. Please resolve that. So I'm saying it, DPME is in agreement with you. We've raised it, and I'm raising it here openly. Firstly, there is the oversight of this moved. Outcome 8 was responsible for basic services and sanitation. Outcome 9 is now responsible for basic services and sanitation. The function still lies with housing, but the accountability for it is with DCOG. So this makes it a little more complex. Okay, so I am raising that with you. You are right. It's in the delivery agreement. It now lies in Outcome 9. So the department is still accountable for sanitation component, but it is accountable through DCOG. That makes some kind of monitoring issues a little incongruent here. That is, maybe, you need to look at it. So I agree with that. The question of the budget around the 50 billion, we just did a very crude set of, a fairly good set of sums, but broad sums, and it says, 50 billion should fix the overall problem. 13 billion will fix the immediate problem, etc. We gave you the sums there. It comes up to that amount. There's the amount, and you can see the to get to number one problem, no services, limited services, that takes you to about 13 billion. So we know that if that 13 billion were done, whether it can be done in 1 year, 2 years, or 4 years, it has to be budgeted for. But it's still 13 billion. Overall, the overall problem could be resolved with 50 billion, whether over 3 years or 6 years. So it's 50 billion. You don't need much more than that. We're saying that there is 90 billion. So how they split the budgets, and of course they are committed budgets. That means now a road and a bridge has to be built, and a hospital, etc. So reschedule the budgets. But it is possible. This problem is not impossible. That's all we are saying. And it is 50 billion to fix it, but the immediate 20, 40 billion will fix our major problem. Immediately, 13 billion over the next 3 to 5 years can fix our most vulnerable. It is possible, and the money exists. So that's the principle, if that helps answer that. I think the issue of open toilets, I know it's, I cannot answer that. All we're telling is the Human Rights Commission, this is the condition. It means it's a difficult one which has been argued in court. Often the authorities have argued in court, but we have fulfilled the constitutional obligation, and they have ruled, notwithstanding that, an open toilet is not sufficient. Do you understand? It's that kind of thing, or the quality of that. So this issue means it's contestable, and the resources have to be found. And as in the recent court cases, you know from the Cape Town saga, that hasn't been an easy one. Okay, so it's not simple, and you are right, it's complex, I agree. And where the sources come from, is the city being blamed for it in the instance? Is the province? Is it the national? Is it the sanitation budget? Is it the human settlements budget? By the way, in all of those court rulings, it depends on where the source of the money is. When the money came out of a particular source, then a particular set of performance norms apply. When the housing norms are used and housing budgets, then the housing norms are used. And those norms, as you point out as a committee yourself, when there's housing with sanitation, there are particular expectations. When there's money for water and sanitation out of a budget which is governed by the legislation regarding water and sanitation, the norms are not so stringent. So when the court interprets it and says, oh, you use the human settlement development grant for this project, then the performance norms are per the housing code, and those are higher. So this issue means it's unresolved. That's why some settlements have 1 per 4, and it's not a court case. And some cases have sanitation in-house, and it's an issue with the courts. Why? Because they're applying housing norms. Okay, so that issue is something that we need to resolve. And the department needs to also put forward a position with DWA. How do we rationalize that? And it is a key element in outcome 9, used to be in outcome 8. Step number one, get agreement between the different departments on norms and standards. It's in output 1.1 in that particular outcome. It says resolve norms and standards. So you are going to continue to have this problem because there are different norms applying. And finally, I think the point about it is you need to, the principle that we're raising partly in this document is we know that, of course, housing and human settlements goes with sanitation. But we're also pointing out that that's one part of it. The other part is where the management and maintenance and operations occur, which is that when it's now not necessarily your core business, do you want to be held to account as a portfolio committee for the non-performance of that? For example, if an industrial area starts having sanitation problems, do you want that to become your domain when we know that high-level sanitation water treatment works relate as much to urban areas to industrial performances? So that question is something that you as a committee have to say, what's our core business and what is someone else's core business and how do we want to resolve that? We are not being presumptuous. We are only saying objectively we must offer that. Politically, you must debate that and discuss it. You understand? I cannot tell the Human Rights Commission, this is a political matter, I refuse to answer a question on it. We can only tell them what the objective conditions are. And you are right. These are political matters. They need to be clear and resolved about how this gets dealt with, what you want to do, where the capacity lies, etc. It's really not within the domain of DPME to comment on that. We are just making an objective recommendation so that it limited the fallout on that kind of question and depoliticized it more openly in the public domain. That means there can't be a public debate about you. You don't want people in Makaza starting to ask, well, we think that the debate about our open toilets should be a matter that should be a political debate about whether it should be Twa or human settlement. You must resolve that so that you give them clarity, not the other way around.
We want you to listen from these discussions. And I believe that Mr. Wouter and even the members of the committee, they've raised the issue of the core business. So we don't need mines. We've got nothing to do with mines. We are critically, our core business is development of human settlements, integrated, comprehensive human settlements, cohesive and sustainable livelihoods. That is our interest. And I think Mr. Wouter, his explanation is clear that the matter lies between the Department of Human Settlements and the other departments, which means the executive authorities have to lead. Now, we don't want you to comment, to say, no, no, we're doing this. We have been sitting with you, discussing this matter for ages. You have been sharing with us the information. Today, I don't think we can entertain the information from the department. We want you to carry on the marching orders, the recommendations that are coming out of this session. Because Mr. Wouter is clear. He's saying this matter is for discussion. And we are saying, Tina, as this portfolio committee, we are not comfortable about the recommendation from the DPME. We don't mind. We are happy about the whole report. We are happy. We are happy about the report, but we still feel not comfortable about the recommendation that says it must be incorporated to water assets. That is our critical bone of contention in this report. Otherwise, he welcomes everything, and even himself, he confirms that really we have done our homework properly. So it's a matter between the executive authorities. If these executive authorities, they don't want to comply with the presidential proclamation directive, presidential directive, they must come. Why are they not complying? Because this issue was raised by Mr. Wouter to say, what is our core business? Those are the issues we are expecting you and the executive authority to come before this committee, and we discuss those areas, and then we make an input as this committee, and then we go forward. But what we're not going to accept is this recommendation. We feel very, very bitter about it. So never, you are not going to get any today. This is not your day.
No.
You are still coming back. But when you come back, Sifunu was clear, Sharaf Shekhlut, Nitete, Nipa, Nitini, and the way forward eating. Because according to my understanding, you have been given a mandate to develop a master plan. So we were expecting you to come before the portfolio committee and tell us what is the master plan that cabinet has instructed you to do so. We want to know what is that master plan that we have developed. That's it. We are closing. But Doris, I saw your hand. You wanted to say something?
Chairperson, I wanted to say that
next time when a certain commission or department releases a report, that commission must also be come in front of this portfolio committee so that we can, yes, so that we can, they can make us understand their view of what they recommended to this committee. That is what I'm saying, Chairperson. And we'll also be able to get responses that the official from the Department of Performance and Monitoring is unable to give us. That is what I wanted to say, Chairperson.
No, I think, as the Chair said, we appreciate this report, and we have advised Mr. Valda to and his team to look at the Parliament report, this portfolio committee. Because when you present this report to cabinet, it is important that you have all facts. It must have even parliament side other than this information that you have gathered today. But you must do your own homework and gather the committee reports, and you will find there how this committee, how far this committee has gone to make sure that this function is successful. With those viewers, I think let's thank once again. Thank Mr. Bauta. Mr. Bauta, you are part of us. Well, you are always part of us. We respect you. We our relationship, we know that it is good. And with the cooperation from the President, I think this is not the first time. You came before us last year to brief us on the outcome 8 progress. So we believe that this relationship that we have built with the presidency is going to be on an ongoing basis. And we thank you very much. Nabu DG, what is the message? What we say, thank you very much to the DG and the minister too. Thank you very much. Let's have a break. So, okay.
The copy is what we take it here, the presentation
and the report. And there's this report. You know what I said? This report was from what I said. These studies have been done. These studies have been done, conducted several times, and with no good effects. This was done by what I said. It was June 2002 to December 2002. So these studies have been done, but we want now results now. Action. We want action now. Thank
you. Remember we had a meeting with you.
They are dropping the report. Because they never process the proclamation. Remember, we agree. Process the proclamation. There's no formal proclamation. You know, they say they have people here. Are you aware there's no formal proclamation?
Then how did it happen? How was it transferred when there was no formal proclamation? How was the function transferred without formal proclamation?
But there was no function transferred.
Then
the
Yeah, then there is a problem because we fund it. How do you receive the money on the
bill?
Which also comes from what? It's not coming from direct concession.
To release other components of the copies of open source.
It can be done. It can be done because if there is no proclamation, it means why is still accountable. But how does Treasury transfer funds to us on planet when they go? This can be they will because they know how to make it.
I was you and I was Thank you. Thank you. From Legal Services in the National Department. Maurice Ngomezolo, National Department of Human Settlements.
Temba Lobatana from the Department of Human Settlements.
Cheney, National Department of Human Settlements.
Raymond Yosimbo from PNG. From Stockholm, National Department of Human
Settlements. How about you, Advocate?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to honorable members, you know, for this opportunity. Chairperson, you know, today I'm carrying a very simple mandate that related, you know, to the regulations, you know, developed under the Housing Development Agency Act, you know, of 2008, which commenced on the 30th of September 2008. Chairperson, before I make the presentation, I've distributed three sets of documents before the honorable members. That is the principal act, Chairperson, which I will wish to draw the attention of the members to section 32 thereof. And there is, of course, another copy of the draft regulations and also the presentation. The reason why, Chairperson, I wish to draw your attention to Section 32 because primarily in here today we'll be dealing with the regulations developed under Section 32(1) in terms of the Principal Act. So, Chairperson, in terms of the presentation is going to be very short and precise. Basically, also for one reason, Chairperson, because the regulations as per Section 32(1) are very specific and clear. As this particular section, Chairperson, it lists matters upon which the minister must make regulations. I'm talking to, there is a presentation, there are draft regulations and the principal act. And the principal act, Chairperson, is specifically I wish to draw the attention of the members to Section 32. Because Section 32 is specifically the section that we are going to discuss the regulations developed under that particular section. I just want to establish just whether members do have those copies. Yes. Is the presentation the copy of the Principal Act? And on the copy of the Principal Act, I wish to draw the attention of the members to Section 32. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the presentation, actually, you know, we are going to discuss it, but I'm not going to follow it traditionally. I'll also, actually, you know, give specific, you know, emphasis, actually, you know, to certain sections which are very critical, you know, for the development of these regulations. The Housing Development Agency... Chair? Yes, sir. The presentation, the first part is going to deal with the background, where it indicates, bullet number one, that the Housing Development Agency Act of 2008 commenced on the 30th of September 2008. Chairperson, let me remind the committee that the object of this act is to establish the Housing Development Agency to provide for its functions, powers, and to provide for matters connected therewith. But Chairperson, of critical importance is the primary function of this institution, which I need to remind the members thereof. Its primary function in terms of the Act itself is to identify, is to acquire, is to hold, is to develop and to release state, primary, you know, privately and commercially owned land for residential and commercial development. That's just to remind the members actually the primary functions of this particular institution that we're dealing with in here today. Continue, Chairperson, actually, you know, the background part of it, when I, in terms of the Act, Section 32 of the Housing Development Agency Act provide as follows. That is primarily the section that deals with the regulation that we have tabled before Parliament to date. This particular section, in terms of the primary legislation, it provides and lists. It lists, you know, the matters in which the minister is empowered, you know, to develop regulations upon. Hence, I was saying, Chairperson, from the beginning that it's simply just a simple, let me say, you know, regulatory processes or framework that has been developed, because the section itself specifies instances upon which the minister needs to regulate. That is under that section 3.1. In terms of the Act, it says that minister must, after consultation with the agency and Parliament. I think it's critical, the Chairperson. The reason why it must be before, after the agency and Parliament, we have consulted with the agency, and therefore, Chairperson, we are now consulting with Parliament. Because it is a principle of legality that while the primary legislation provides a process or a procedure, or prescribe a procedure which we need to follow in terms of the regulation being developed, we need to follow it. Even if the regulation says or the primary legislation tells us, say, we need actually not to go to Syria, we'll have to go there. Or else we are running the risk of us passing the legislation or the secondary legislation that will be, you know, invalid at the end of the day. So that is why, hence, the legislation itself under Section 32 says that we must, of course, minister must do that after consultation with Parliament. Hence, actually, we have tabled these regulations before Parliament. Then Section 31.3 talks about the meetings to be held by the board, the regulatory of meetings, special meetings, the taking of decisions at meetings, conveying of meetings and notice of meetings, meetings by telephone or video, you know, or video conference or other means of communications. The second slide talks about the forum at meetings, adjournment of meetings, the person presiding at meetings, minutes, resolution signed by members of the board, execution of documentations, and the proceedings of the board. I think why it is critical, Chairperson, it is critical in the sense that if we can have a look in terms of the, you know, the primary legislation, Section 32, it lists all those particular instances as well. So that is why, hence, actually, we made sure to say that we of course, table together, you know, this regulation together with the principal so that the members can certify themselves as to whether the regulation, to ensure that the regulations are intravirous. Because failure for us actually not to provide something that is beyond what the minister is empowered for, we are running the risk actually, you know, of developing regulations which are ultra-various and therefore will be declared to be, you know, invalid. Chairperson, the other point what we're trying to raise was that if you go to that particular same section, the subsection 2, it says that the minister may, after consultation with the agency and Parliament again, make regulation regarding any matter that this requires, that the Act requires or permits to be prescribed. Further to say that generally any ancillary or incidental administrative or procedural matters that, you know, the minister wishes to prescribe. Therefore, Chairperson, when we're going further to, after the particular section, what is critical is that we also need to inform the members. We thought that it would also be prudent for us to inform you of the processes that we undertook as a department before even we tabled this regulation before Parliament. Because this particular process is prescriptive in the sense that we need actually to follow those further due process as outlined in terms of the Interpretation Act. It's a principle issue, it's a legality issue. The issue that we needed to do, the department finalized the draft regulation consulted with the agencies required in terms of Section 32. The draft regulations were thereafter, Chairperson, published in the Government Gazette and then the Government Gazette number 3465 for comment, and only two comments were received. I think the reason why only two comments were received, Chairperson, is because this regulatory part, you know, of the regulations is simply dealing with the corporate governance issues. That deals actually, you know, with issues that relate to the meetings of the board, you know, that relate with, you know, the general administration of governance issues. And those governance issues predominantly, you know, people are more not concerned more about, because those particular kind of, you know, regulatory framework is dealt with in another piece of legislation. If you go to the PFMA, it deals with those issues. If you go to the, you know, the board charter, it deals with those issues. If you go to the Companies Act, they also prescribe on those particular kind of issues. So basically, we are of the view as well, Chairperson, as I'm sitting here, that you know, going forward in terms of reviewing this particular act as well, in terms of its amendment. Basically, we need to go to relook at the fact to say that whether is it desirable for us to have this particular, you know, provision which deals with meetings of the board and all those other issues, which are basically, you know, general issues and corporate governance issues, which are, you know, dealt with in other pieces of legislation and other spaces as well. So, but basically, that's the reason why maybe, you know, we've only received two comments, because they're simply just, you know, generic issues which are being dealt with by day-to-day, you know, running of the meetings of the board. And also, Chairperson, as part of the consultation process, the department is also required, actually, you know, to consult, you know, with Parliament before the regulations actually are promulgated. I think the Chairperson will recall to say that it's a standing limited decision of this portfolio committee to say that when you develop a legislation, normally, we insist to say that, you know, the committee will also insist to say that we need, when you develop a regulation, that the regulations will come back to this committee. And the only way that it will come back to this committee is when that particular provision is inserted into the act, into the primary legislation itself. So, Chairperson, there's been that kind of a consistency. That's why, hence, all the regulations that are developed under all pieces of legislation that were developed, you know, under your leadership, they have also, you know, come before this parliament. That is why, hence, we are tabling this one to date. Then, the other slide, Chairperson, deals with the content of the regulations. Regulation 1 basically deals with the definitions. Then Regulation 2, Chairperson, deals with the meetings of the board. And Regulation 3 deals with the notices of meetings. Then Regulation 4 deals with the quorum. The Regulation 5 deals with adjournment. Regulation 6, Chair, deals with the person presiding at meetings. Regulation 7 deals with the taking of decisions at meetings. Regulation 8 deals with minutes. Regulation 9 deals with meetings by telephone or video conference or other means of communication. And Chairperson and members, of Regulation 10 deals with the resolution signed by members of board. Regulation 11 deals with execution of documents. Regulation 12 deals with proceedings of board. And Regulation 13, Chairperson, deals with the offensive penalties. And Regulation 14 deals with the short title. If, Chairperson, I can refer you to the draft regulations in here. Now, here, these particular regulations on the other set of documents that have already distributed. That deals with all those other kind of issues is. Those are dealing with those generic issues that relating each other to the cabinet issues of the board, the running of the duties of the board, and so forth. So, I from where I'm sitting, Chairperson, those are simply just, you know, generic issues that are basically actually, you know, dealt with actually, you know, day-to-day, you know, meetings of the board and all other, you know, boards and other institutions actually, you know, of governance. Like I've already indicated, it's also been dealt with this other piece of legislation, also, you know, the issue that relates to the, you know, the King Code deals with all these other issues. So that's why hence we are saying that, Chairperson, today, actually, you know, this committee should, you know, kindly accept, actually, you know, the documentation that's presented before it as dealing with those issues that are regulated upon in terms of that section 32.1 as they are listed under this particular piece of legislation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Kwezi. Any addition from advocate? No additional comment? Okay. All right. Honourable members?
Chair, just to get the purpose of this, of what we are doing. It deals with section 32.1 of the Principal Act. Why was, when this act was done, didn't we make provision for this rules? Because of that's the primary purpose why today you want us to endorse this operational methods of the quorums of meetings and everything. Why in the inset of the Principal Act was it not done? Just to get clarity on that. Because usually when you draft the Principal Act, you should include the operations of the meetings and all those ancillary matters. Why was it not done, Chair?
Chair, I think the Honourable Steve have covered me, but my other one of mine, Chair, is that one on the regulation regarding EP. At the end, they show that on this slide, it ends with that. But here, it's supposed to go further to... So now, here, I'm incomplete.
Okay. because I can't see hands for now. Kwazi? No, are you responding?
Me? No. There's just one more position that I need to add to. Okay, I think it's just important for Kwazi just to add on the issue, because there's one particular point, that's the priority housing development areas in relation to the regulations. So we just need to get an indication, and I just briefed the committee that this is the first part, and that would also need a sort of process, which I know that's still work in progress, because that's a substantive developmental issue. So this is a procedural day-to-day running, but I think for the purposes of the committee, and particularly function of the human settlement sector, that's an important aspect which still needs to be undertaken.
Well, we welcome them.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
We welcome the report. But my comment, seemingly, you like to create tension between the department and parliament. I don't want to get into question that has been raised by Honorable Steve. Section 32, subsection 2, speaks clearly with the minister can present, can develop irregulations. Other. Now, the HDA has been running since 2008. 2009, I think I'm trying to connect with Neville. 2009, 2010, 11, 12, this is the fourth year the HDA is running. Do you mean to say the department has not observed any impediments that are hindering the progress in the implementation of this act, which is the primary mandate, primary function? Let's stick to what you've read. Primary function of the HDA. So you mean the HDA will run us smoothly, everything was smooth for HDA. To such an extent, today we've got land release to develop human settlements as required, and the act is clear, is allowing the minister to regulate such issues, which means those intergovernmental what and so on and so on. There's quite a lot. We have been to the field, to provinces. HDA is not known. Some get benza ngabomba tabayaz, abanye, no, abanye, they are just doing scapegoats. We know that HDA, it has to wait for a province to invite it. What is your sister? They are not all over the show in the provinces. So how do you deal with those issues? So nina ni mana nina ni skunsulele. Yaba na mentioning I fool. This committee, we are taking our work seriously. Nina ni adala pa iti kat meeting. Gene kwen go 8. Go 1, nye lunch. Go 2, nye abuy. Go 4, nye chaisa nye am. I computer ze ato ze avu. Mo music, we avu. I'm a character. So I'm trying to say minister is advised by yourself. Minister is advised by yourself. The question he was are you don't any report any civil minister about this. No, we accept those. We accept it. It's not that we don't accept it. We appreciate it. But come up in those, I mean, the critics are dealing only with corporate governance issues only.
Hmm.
What about the critical issues, service delivery? Because we are here, our role is about service delivery to the people. So you are always selective when you are dealing with matters. You don't bring the issue holistically, so that the division in Alenga, the song is going to, and that is going to cause tension between us and the department. In fact, I must say, and the minister, the executive authority, because it's the minister who accounts to us. Which what you enjoy a lot of life. It's good for you that there are these tensions. You advise us of the minister. So, if you can answer that question, there are other questions that are following, but I want you to have you only. That's it.
Thank you, Chair. In my response, you know, to the question that was raised, like, you're not allowed to say that, why, you know, those regulations were not developed. At first, they could, you know, as drafters of legislation, we were mindful of the fact to say there are, of course, two sets of pieces of legislation that can be developed under that empowering legislation, under that empowering section, which is subsection 1 and subsection 2. And subsection 1 deals primarily with the corporate governance issues, which are not the crux and the backbone of, you know, of the real function, you know, of the HDA. But if you can go to section 7.3, section 7.3, Chair, if you go to section 7.3, subsection 3, it talks precisely to the matters that the Chairperson has raised, which goes directly into the functions of the HDA, which is subsection 3 talks about, in performing its function, the agency may, I'm going to read C, implement such measures as may be prescribed to fast-track housing development in the declared priority housing development areas. Those are the key and the fundamental regulations that goes directly into the functions of the HDA. So when this particular piece of legislation was promulgated, we are very mindful of that particular fact, of saying that once we develop this first set of regulations, those particular first set of regulations only deals with a matter that relates, you know, to the board. But however, for us, it will be dubious for us to develop this set of regulations and, of course, table it without having those other regulations that deal with the property development area. Because those ones are the most critical ones, that are the most important ones. Because the first set normally deals with the issues that are governed somewhere else. But however, Chairperson, I wish to state categorically without any fear of contradiction that this particular function, it's very clear to say that the agency may perform those particular functions. We have been in constant consultation with them, in consultation, of course, for them actually, you know, to develop and to ensure to say that how do you develop those particular priority development areas as prescribed in terms of the Act. There have been number of engagement, the document has already been developed, but however, I'm reliably informed actually by the institution itself to say that the process of declaring, you know, and prescribing those declared priority development areas is going to be a very, you know, long process and exercise. In a sense that even currently they are still actually, you know, engaging and consulting with all three spheres of government in terms of the policy development and also ensuring to say that they've got actually concurrence of all these three spheres of government. Chairperson, I wish to stay to say that we have, of course, in constant actual consultation with the institution itself to say that it is critical that we finalize those particular sets of regulations. But given the response towards the end of last year to inform us to say this process is going to take further, you know, more time than anticipated, actually, you know, by the institution itself, then we fail to say that it is critical, therefore, that the first set of regulations as provided for in terms of Section 1, we need, of course, in terms of compliance, to ensure that we develop those particular sets of regulations. But however, Chairperson, the reliable part of it is that I'm reliably informed to say that that particular process of development of those particular process is going to take time and is still actually, you know, taking time even to date. But we are mindful of it, the time this particular act actually will commence in 2008.
Follow-up, Chair. I think Quincy doesn't answer my question. I'm saying for the past 4 years since this agency was established, do you say how were they operating their basic governance issues? Were they having meetings? Because of this is basic things of prescribing of proceedings of the board, resolutions,
and for your own
minutes and everything.
And
for the past 4 years, have they been operating without...
Honourable Member,
principles. I don't understand.
Honourable Member, for your own information, this is the second board that is. So why? But your question is very relevant.
Yeah, because I don't understand that why after 4 years you are bringing this basic thing in each and every King Code principle of good governance would require that each and every institution must have this. Yeah. So why does it take 4 years to bring this? Have you identified holes or something?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We have a framework for board charters for all entities. Now, every entity is having an approved board charter, which has been approved by the executive. And these board charters, they have all these things which we now call regulations. Mm-hmm. So they've been operating in terms of their board charters, which were approved by our executive.
So then it gives the question, why do you bring this then to put in the principal act? And to further compound the problem, does it mean all other entities are, you know, operating based on those principles and not this?
Not according to the
prescribed act of what they were established.
There are guidelines in terms of King's Code, in terms of Companies Act, in terms of PFMA, on how boards should observe their fiduciary duties, and also in terms of governance, how they would. Now, we develop a common framework which incorporates the three documents, that is the King's Three, together with the Companies Act, together with the PFMA, on how boards should conduct their businesses in terms of governance. So it is almost common with all institutions. So even HDA it was operating since its inception in terms of the board charter. And that board charter is not different from these sets of regulations which are being presented to you today.
Mr. Gomez, we understand that because for the board to be running, we accept that chapter. But the question is, I'm not a
promoting the question of honorable. But I'm trying to say, can you just stay for 4 years? Because the act is clear, the act of parliament is clear to say bring the regulations before parliament. Now you have been sitting for 4 years. 4 years. We agree that because at least once the institution has been set up, it has to run. It cannot be held ransom by the regulations. There is a provision of the chapter, ne? But what we are saying, for 4 years trying to construct this one page to consolidate what is supposed to be here. That is our problem here. Because we expect that when you come before the parliament, you will bring this, it's fine. It's welcome. It's welcome. Don't think that we are saying you are wrong. It's welcome. But in an expanded, because now it has to relate to the implementation of the act itself, the whole act. Because now you have already have an arrangement that is making the institution to run. Now you are coming to us with this. That's the problem that we are having as this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, without laboring the point, I think, let me just concede that what the committee is asking, there's merit in it. So that's the first point, and I think what I'm going to do is try and suggest how we can sort of not meet ourselves, but ensure that we meet the developmental mandate that we want to achieve. Okay. So I think the issue that we need to find the middle ground, and that's the basis. In terms of the regulations, in relation to what Mr. Nguyen has put up in terms of Section 32.1, that is obviously the committee is happy with that. Okay. The short, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The issue that we need to go back together with the HDA is an evaluation, a regulatory and a compliance evaluation and review of the HDA's performance within the sector, which is basically hampered or being hampered or has been unable to perform its tasks. Hence, a whole range of issues, for example, conclusion of implementation protocols, release of land, all those issues. Now, I think what we need to indicate is that the department would rely on that kind of review, that kind of developmental sort of holding the mirror to your face and saying, so what have I done wrong? How could I perform better? And if I want to, then how do I get the regulations to assist? Because in terms of Section 32.2, that's what we need to be able to do. Okay, that's a, alternatively, there's also, you remember at the discussion, there were certain issues that were raised. Should we not look at certain amendments which we might want to do that improves the performances? Chair, can I indicate that what we'll do is we'll go back in conjunction with the HDA, because I think it's not an issue that I think Mr. Nguyenya or Advocate Tladi, it's within their remit. It's between ourselves and the HDA. Yes. And obviously we'll come back to you perhaps within the next 2 months and present to you a developmental review.
Within 2 months, because now as soon as the money says we sell, it's over.
Continue with the way we are giving you the 2 months. Continue with your chapter. What would you call your chapter thing? And then you must work on Saturdays. Work on Saturdays and Sundays. Work on Saturdays and Sundays so that now it's the beginning of the month, September, October, first week November, we are here, all of us. First week November, we are here, all of us. Thank you very much. All of the members, let's deal with our minutes.